Romans chapter 6, begin reading in verse 17. Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Man alive, what a mouthful. I love the book of Romans. It's not always that easy to discern in my brain. But Paul uses the word servants here more than once. And in each occasion that he uses the word servants, it is the same Greek word that literally means slave. The Greek word doulos. And it literally means slave. Now, slavery in Paul's day was rampant. You look in the Old Testament, you look in the early New Testament, you'll find slavery. But for the most part, it wasn't the kind of slavery that we associate with our black friends and the meanness and the horror and the using of flesh. Even though slavery was not good and it was not the best, it was nothing like we think of. Slavery in Paul's day, slavery many times, even in the Old Testament days, but especially around Jesus and Paul's day, was something that, to be honest, could be helpful for people. People would literally sell themselves to be slaves in order to pay off a debt. And in order to be able to help themselves and to improve their family, to take care of their family, men and women would sell themselves into slavery. So slavery, even though we look at it in a very negative way, could be something that was positive. But one thing about slavery is this. Someone is the master and someone is the slave. Someone is the controller and someone is the one that honors and obeys and does as the master says. One is the owner and one is the owned. And Paul in these verses reminds us that we are slaves. It's not the only place in the Bible. In fact, when it says in Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus are servants of Jesus Christ. It means slaves. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for we preach not ourselves Christ Jesus, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He talks about being a slave there. He is writing to some who are slaves, Paul is. He is writing to some who own slaves. It's a prevalent thing. In fact, some have said, historians tell us, that during Paul's day, about one-third of the population were slaves. So it's something that's very prevalent. And even though we don't think that slavery is something good, it could be helpful. In fact, if you have a good owner, if you have a good master, being a slave could be a good thing. There are records of slaves that would have their owner's name sketched on their tombstones when they died. They loved them that much. And Paul says, we are slaves. We are slaves. Now, we as Christians are children of God. He is our Father. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I have a daddy. We as children of God are friends to the Lord. He says, I call you friends. We are brothers to our Lord. We are in the same family. And all those things have a positive aspect to it. We don't mind a bit saying, I'm one of his children. I'm one of his friends. I'm his brother or I'm his sister. But when we talk about being a slave, we automatically start drawing back. Because slavery means I don't get to do what I want to do. I'm no longer the one in charge. But again, we are slaves. Listen to this. The most used term for Christians in the New Testament is this term servant, which means a slave. He wants us to know, if you're one of mine, I own you. You belong to me. Now listen, you are either a slave to sin or you're a slave to the Savior. You either belong, listen, I'm sorry, but you either belong to the devil or you belong to the Lord. Did you hear that? Belong to, master of, over, authority. I'm under, I'm in subjection. I do what he says. Every person in this building, every person on this ball called the world is either a slave to sin and to Satan or a slave to the Savior. That's what I want to try and deal with this morning. I want to try to preach on this psalm. Somebody's slave. You are somebody's slave. You are owned by somebody. Now listen, we cannot be slaves to both sin and the Savior, Satan and the Savior. We cannot be slaves to both, and we will not be slaves to neither. We either are a slave to sin and Satan and self, or we are a slave to the Savior. Which slave are you? Which family are you in? Jesus said it like this: you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in the world. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in yourself. You have to decide. In these verses in Romans 6, Paul sort of paints us a picture of a field, really two fields. In verse 17, he talks about you are the servants of sin. And in verse 18, he talks about the servants of righteousness. Now notice what he says. He says, in essence, there's two fields. There's one field. I'll pick this side this morning, even though I see it on this side. This is the field of sin. I picked the right side. The field of sin under the authority of Satan. Paul said it like this: servants of sin. Listen, slaves of sin. Mastered by the devil. Controlled by the devil and flesh and sin. You do what you want to when you want to. And you don't care who likes it or not. That's lost people. That's people who do not know Christ. Paul said there's a field of sin that's mastered by Satan. But he also talks about another field. I may switch sides after this message. There's a field of the Savior. There's a field here, he says in verse 18, servants of righteousness. Servants means slaves also. The righteous, the saved bunch. You're not like them. You're not like you used to be. You are servants. You are slaves of righteousness. So there's a field of sin mastered by Satan. There's a field of Savior, or the field of the salvation mastered supposed to by the Savior. That's the fields of slavery. Both fields are controlled by somebody. Everybody working in this field is controlled by Satan, self, and sin. Everybody working in this field is supposed to be controlled by the Savior. But everybody in both fields are slaves. They are controlled by someone other than themselves. That's the way it's supposed to be. One belongs to the devil, one belongs to God, the Savior. Look in verse 16. I want you to follow with me some. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, slaves to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether to sin unto death, this crowd in this field, or obedience unto righteousness, the crowd in this field. He said it doesn't matter which field you're in. You are yielding yourself to somebody. If you're in the field of sin, still lost, you're serving the devil. Whether you like that or not, you are controlled by someone other than yourself. And if you're in the field of salvation, you are to be controlled by the Savior and live righteous and do right and do His will, His way all the time, like it or not. We all are slaves. It talks about the fields of slavery. But notice in verse 19, he talks about the fruit of service in both fields. There's people working. In a field you work. You plow and you plant and then you produce. You plow the ground, you plant the seed, you produce the fruit. In this field there's some producing going on because there's some planting going on. In this field also, there's some producing going on because there's some planting, there's some plowing going on. There's work being done in both fields. I have tried to mention the fields of slavery. Let me mention just in a minute the fruit of service. The fruit of service means what I do produces fruit. When you plant and plow, you produce. When you plant and you plow, fruit is the result. And this crowd who serves Satan, this lost people working in this field, they produce unrighteousness. They produce sin. What they do results in unrighteousness and ungodliness. What this crowd in the other field, the field of salvation, produces is godliness, righteousness. You do what's right, and it produces good and godly things. The fruit of service, what we do results in what we produce. You understand? What we sow, we will reap. What we do has a result. How we live has a result. There's fruits to what we're doing. There's fruits to this service. And we'll reap the benefit or the burden. Look in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things where you are now ashamed? You know what Paul's doing? He's saying to this group over here who are saved now, what benefit did you have in that field? You remember when you were lost? Remember when you were a servant to Satan? Remember when you was his slave? What good was that life? What good was it? Notice what he says, whereof ye are now ashamed. I look back at my old life and I say, did I really do that? Was that really me? Did I really live that way? Did I really talk like that? Did I really do those things? Since I'm in the new field, since I'm saved and I'm a servant of the Lord, I look back at the old life and I think, oh my, I'm ashamed of how I acted. I'm ashamed of how I did. But I was lost, and lost people act like lost people. And that's what Paul's saying. It produces hardship. It produces misery. It produces woe. Boy, I want to tell you what, when I was living in this field, I thought, man, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. But now I'm in the field of salvation. I'm in the family of God. I look back at that old field and I realize how barren it was, how dead it is, how useless that old life is. I realize now, since I'm in the new life, that that old life was worthless. And it was just, I'm telling you what, it was rotten and dead and barren. That old field is useless. I want to tell you, it doesn't reveal itself until we get to the new life, what the old life was like. So he talks about the first field. Service, look on to verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of flesh, that as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Lost people give themselves to sin. It says servants, slaves to uncleanness. You lost people live the way you do because you're lost. And because you have a master. You have a king over you and you don't realize he's controlling your life. You are living, serving, slaves to the devil and to sin. And it says iniquity on iniquity. One sin leads to another sin. One sin leads to another sin. Your life is controlled by Satan. You're living for sin. And the more you sin, the more you want to sin. Look on in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things where you're ashamed of? Again, it's a life of slavery. It's a life of misery. It's a life of hardship. That's the first field. The field of sin that gives or produces the fruit of unrighteousness, produces sin, produces deadness. But the second field, look in verse 19 again. Even so now yield ye your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. When you move from the first field, the field of sin, into the second field, the field of salvation, he says you are then to be slaves to righteousness, which produces fruit of holiness. We're to do right. We're to be his slave. It doesn't matter what we want to do. We are no longer our own. We weren't our own back then, being lost. We belonged to the devil. But now we belong to God. And it doesn't mean now, oh boy, I can finally do what I want to do. I am free of sin. I am saved. I've got my life to live as I please, and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. That's not what salvation is. We are his slaves. We are his servants, and we are to live under righteousness. Now, I'm working in this field. I'm serving my master. Now listen, I'm not working in this field to stay in the field. I mean, if I stop working, he ain't going to throw me over here. You got that? I'm working in this field because I am a part of this field. I'm a part of this family. I am working not to keep it. I am working not because I got to. I'm working because I love him. He's been so good to me, I want to serve him. He's been so good to me, I want to please him. He said, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, I'm plowing this field, having a good time. I'm sowing in this field, enjoying it. I'm doing it because I want to. He said you obeyed from the heart in these verses. He lets you decide. He didn't force you to get saved. He lets you from your heart. He told you, here's what I'm offering you, salvation, forgiveness. Now, will you accept it or reject it? But we are in this field if we're saved, and we're to be serving him with all of our hearts. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the fruits of both fields. Look in verse 17. But God be thanked that when you were servants of sin, when you were slaves to sin, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You were the servants of sin. You were slaves to Satan. You were his slaves. He was your master. You did what he told you to do. You lived like he wanted you to. Whether you realized it or not, you were controlled by somebody other than you when you were lost. But you're no longer lost. You're no longer in that field. You're no longer in that family. You're in a new family. You're in a new field because you have obeyed the doctrine you heard. You heard the gospel and believed. Now, we were all in the field of sin to begin with. Every one of us. We were all born lost. Verse 20, for when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. He says to everybody, you used to be. There was a time you were all slaves to sin. You were in the field of sin, everybody. And when you were in the field of sin, you were free from righteousness. You know what he's saying? You were so rotten, there was no good in you. You were free from righteousness. You had no righteousness. You were a pauper when it came to righteousness. You had no good in you. And I can hear somebody say, I don't think I was that bad. Oh, yeah, you were. Or you still are. I hear somebody say, I'm not all bad. Well, yeah, you are. He said you were free from righteousness. You didn't have one speck of righteousness. You didn't have one speck of good in you. We were all bad. We were all rotten. We were all perverted. We were all wicked. We were born that way, hopelessly lost in a field, a family of sin, controlled by Satan, flesh, and the devil, and ourselves. He says, we were all born in the family of sin. And you lived as you pleased, you thought. But there's somebody else behind your actions, your desires, your deeds. That's why somebody goes and gets drunk, wakes up with a hangover and says, I ain't never doing this again. Or the sun goes down, they're already looking for another bottle. Somebody's controlling them. That's why somebody gambles. And you know good and well you're going to lose more than you win. And the family's savings are gone. And the family struggles, but they go to the track again. They go to the lottery again. They're being controlled by somebody. They are somebody's slave. Paul said, I want to remind you where you used to be. You were controlled by the devil and didn't even realize it. You were in that world of sin. We were all born in the field of sin. But some of us, says Paul, have moved to the field of salvation, the field of the Savior. Some of us have left the field of sin and have gotten saved. We've left the family of the devil and become a family, part of the family of God. We've left that field of sin and came into the family of the field of salvation. We're saved. We're believers. Look, verse 7, ye were the servants of sin. You used to be. You're no longer slaves to sin. You're no longer a slave to Satan. I'll say it again, I'll move on. That does not mean I'm free now to do whatever I want to do. Why? Because I'm still a slave. I've just changed masters. Used to be my master was Satan. Now my master, the one that's in control of me, the one who has authority over me, the one who owns me is the Savior. I've just switched fields. I just changed families. I'm still a slave. Got to remind you, he uses slave more than anything else in the New Testament to show what we are to him. But that ain't too bad. Because if I've got a good master, I kind of like being a slave. Because if I've got a good master, what I can accomplish, and what I can enjoy, and what I can experience is better than if I had my own control of my own life. If I've got a rich master and a good master, I'm all right. Because he's going to take care of me. He's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. And he's going to do for me what's best. If I've got a good master, I'm all right. Could I remind you? You got a good master. We're slaves. We are owned by somebody. But he loves us. And I'd rather be a slave with a good master than a master. You hear that? I'd rather be owned by somebody good than own my own life. Because it's responsible for him. Now, back in that old life, it was misery and woe, struggling. But what happens is when we change lives, we change fields. Butch, I'm sorry, just stand up a minute. He's going to be Satan. Good pick. Gail says he acts like the devil half the time anyway, so we'll use him. I'm no longer in Satan's field. I'm no longer in Satan's family. I'm in God's family. I'm in God's field. But you know what Satan will do? Do like this to me. No, there you go. He'll call to me and say, come on, I got something you can enjoy. Come on, really, really, really hard. Come on. Come on now, put some force to it. Come on. And he won't give up the first time when I say, no, I'm no longer a child of the devil. You no longer have authority over me. I'm no longer your slave. You know what he'll do? He'll, come on, come on. I got something you really do enjoy. I've got something that sure would make you happy. You don't have to be so stringent. You don't have to be so strict. Come on over. Now, I'm not talking about losing salvation. You understand that. I'm talking about doing something we shouldn't do. Doing something we used to do. Doing something we ought not to do. Doing something Satan wants us to do. You know what I do? What I should do? Since I am under the mastership and the control of Savior, I should say to Satan, no, you are no longer my master. I'm no longer in your field. Listen, you have no authority over me. No. All right, sit down, devil. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, you are no longer under the control of Satan. And here's my point, and I'll be done. If I served Satan as fervently as I did, should I not serve my Savior as fervently or more so? And that's what Paul's saying. You lived for the devil and you gave him your all. And you were living in a life of misery. Your sin didn't satisfy you. All that iniquity you were doing didn't even make you happy, but you kept devoting your life and giving your life, and you poured your all into Satan and sin and self. If you did that for them, surely you ought to do it for me, says Jesus, and more so. Here's what he says. You ought to give your all. You ought to serve me more fervently. Look in verse 19. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, how you used to live for the devil, how you used to be his slave. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, one sin left to another. Listen, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He said, if you serve the devil with all your heart, surely you ought to serve me with all your heart. That old life led to misery and woe, iniquity after iniquity, sin after sin, heartbreak after heartbreak. The new life will lead to holiness, to godliness, to peace, to joy. Surely you ought to give as much or more to me that you gave to Satan. Here's what he's saying. I've dealt with the fields of slavery. There's slaves in this field. Slaves in this field. Two fields, all slaves. I've dealt with the fruit of service. The planting and the plowing produces on this field. The planting and the plowing produces in this field. But I want to try and deal real quickly with the freedom of slaves. I may be a slave, but I'm free. In other words, he has set me free from sin. He has set me free from Satan. Let the devil holler all he wants to. He has no control over me anymore. I'm not going to hell. I don't have to be controlled by Satan. I don't have to live in the flesh any longer, for I have a new master. He has set me free. And when I serve him, I do it in joy. When I serve him, I do it because I want to. When I serve him, I do it because he deserves my best. Freedom. Now, here's the point. We want to try and find a place in the middle, live in both worlds, live in both fields. Jesus said, you can't. You cannot serve God and mammon. Paul says, you're either in one field or the other, one family or the other. We want to try and find some way down the middle where I can halfway live for Jesus and halfway live for myself and do as I want to part of the time and not really devote my all, not really. Hey, slaves are slaves. That means our all. I said it to begin with. We cannot be both, but we cannot be neither. We will either serve Satan or the Savior. We will either serve self or the Savior. We either will serve me and my will and what I want to do, and hey, a lot of us are trying to. And I want to tell you something, we ain't happy if we're trying that. Don't tell me your selfish life is making you happy. I got up too early this morning for you to tell me that mess. You know good and well you're not happy. You know good and well really in your heart you're miserable. Because if you belong to him, you can't live for him. You got that? If you're saved, you cannot straddle the fence. You cannot serve both. And we're trying. So I ask you this. Should we not serve the Lord as fervently as we serve self? Should we not serve the Lord more fervently than we serve the devil? Surely we all do. Again, verse 19. For ye yielded your members as servants of uncleanness and unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You were slaves to sin, now be a slave to him. Notice, to yield your members. This is a member. That's a member. My elbow's a member. My head's a member. My ear's a member. My eyes are a member. My mouth is a member. My members means our body. What we are, what we live in. We are to give our all. From our brain to our toe, we're to give to him. You know, really that word members has the idea in the Greek language as a tool. You know what that means? The devil was using our body. And the Lord wants to use our body. You're here this morning. God used your body at least to get here. Some of your brain's here. Some of you ain't. You're somewhere else. That word members means tools. It also has the idea of a weapon to use against. You know what the devil was trying to do when you were lost and I was lost? To use our body, our members, as a weapon against God. You want to know what God's trying to do now that you're a part of the family? Use your body as a weapon against the devil. He says, yield your members, your slaves now. Give your all to him. I'll say this, I'm done. It'll sound real sad. It'll sound real discouraging. We can never, ever, in any way, escape slavery. You spend your entire life from birth to death, so do I, as a slave. Either a slave to Satan, self, and sin, or a slave to the Savior. Our entire life is devoted, whether we realize it or not, to somebody. Someone is controlling us. And since that's true, I sure do want the Savior to control me instead of sin. And I sure do want the Savior to control me instead of self. And I sure do want the Savior to control me instead of Satan. I don't have an option. One or the other will control me. I am born and I will die a slave. And that's why he says yield. Yield yourselves. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let it reign. You know what reign is? It's a king. It's a master. It's somebody over you. He said, don't let sin be your master that will control you. Who's your master? If you're lost, Satan's your master. And he wants you into hell. And Jesus wants to save you. Pure and simple, he wants to save you. He wants to take you out of that sin life and put you in a life of joy. But if we're saved, Jesus wants our all. He wants our all, and he deserves it. Now, here's the way you decide. Who is my master? Who am I being controlled by? How do you live? How do you live? I don't care if we've been saved 500 years. If we're not serving him, we're not his slaves. We may be saved, but we're not a slave. We're being controlled by something or someone else. There's some people this morning, I'm sure, that need to be saved. I believe that. I believe there's some people this morning, no doubt, need to adjust the way we live and realize, I am not my master. I have no right to my life. I have no right to my decisions. I have no right to do what I want to do. I am belonged by, I am owned by, he bought me, I belong to him, and he has a right to tell me what to do. There's some folks that need to realize that, wake up to that, and get right about it. There's some folks, I believe, that just need to say, Lord, thank you so much that I can depend on you. Please mind the Lord this morning. What family are you in? And if you're in God's family, are you living like it? Is the devil controlling you? Are you still his servant? Are you still his slave? Don't let that continue. Come on and get it settled. Let's stand together.